Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Between the Presets, a podcast by me, Rudy Stettner, that comes out every Monday evening. Here is the place where anything that can be said in polite company is fair game for discussion, even if it occasionally offends. Let's roll. Please be advised that this episode of Between the Presets contains material that may be unsuitable for younger audiences. If that is an issue, please listen at another time or on headphones. Thank you. Hello, it is Monday evening, the 23rd of Adar 2, that being April 1st, 2024 on the English calendar. Just a couple of thoughts about Joe Lieberman, who passed away recently. I always got the feeling when I listened to him in the news media that he was a thoughtful person who was not simply manufacturing sound bites or pandering to a list of constituencies, but trying to arrive at what was for the best for the country and for his state. If I am assured that somebody is such a person, it doesn't matter so much if I disagree with them sometimes, as I sometimes did with him. I happen to have met him a couple times. I, as a visitor, went to the same synagogue he did. And one of the things I admired about him in speaking with him was I can definitely say that he spoke with the same tone of human respect and friendliness to somebody who was, you know, a high official, somebody who played on the national or local stage, as he did to somebody who was an unknown, a category into which I place myself matter-of-factly with no sense of self-deprecation at all. And I tremendously respect people like that. I like reading about celebrities because I like to know something about the human beings who produce our entertainment. But one person who had this delightful characteristic of greeting everyone kindly and treating everyone with respect was Robin Williams of blessed memory. I hear he was very kind to people who approached him on the street and was an all-around nice guy. With all of the craziness in society today, I can understand if somebody might be standoffish, reserved, and a little bit curt with total strangers. So when people like Joe Lieberman and Robin Williams can greet strangers in a friendly fashion, it really is refreshing, and it's really a skill as well. On a more serious note, yesterday was the very important Christian holiday. It was Easter. And I have been accustomed over the years to Americans of different faiths being acknowledged on their major religious holidays. I'm accustomed to that being done in a tone of respect. And in a Christian majority country, I would expect that the major Christian holidays be acknowledged by the president of the country and that believers of that faith be the recipients of good wishes. I was therefore shocked, shaken to my core, when I read a statement from the White House that Sunday happened to be the, for Christians, the holiest day on their calendar, that they declared Sunday to be Trans Awareness Day. And this declaration was made with no acknowledgement whatsoever of a, major holiday for America's Christian majority. The idea that one could change the gender of a human being or any other creature with the help of pharmaceutical companies and surgeons is hotly contested by millions of people of perfectly good will. The idea that public schools and other government agencies can intervene against the will of parents and, according to highly dubious medical so-called wisdom, is something that needs to be challenged and challenged strenuously. This idea that men can be turned into women and women can be turned into men seems to be a form of twisted gender stereotyping that is not only psychologically injurious, but physically and medically as well. And to launch an advocacy offensive on the most major Christian holiday of the year seems to be a willful, calculated expression of contempt and disrespect for a huge plurality, maybe a majority of people living in the United States. Unfortunately, some of the major Christian denominations went along with the White House declaration. It kind of reminds me of East Germany and China and the former Soviet Union, where on paper there was freedom of religion, but they had basically docile state-recognized religious denominations which were thoroughly under the control of the state. In China, after the Falun Gong, village churches, for instance, are under extreme attack. People who attend underground religious services run the risk of imprisonment and worse. And I see something similar to this trend in the United States, where religious denominations are bought off with government programs with numerous strings attached, and they become docile supporters of the ruling party. And it's a pity, and I think that this is why some of the major religious denominations of all faith traditions are losing out to smaller, more independent congregations. On an additional somber note, there was a funeral for yet another New York City police officer, Officer Diller, who was murdered during a routine traffic stop by someone with an extensive enough criminal record that he should have been behind bars either awaiting trial or doing time at the time he killed Officer Diller. And I found it refreshing that when Governor Hochul, who could have pushed for a revocation of this bail reform and no bail policies, etc., which have turned New York State into a miserable place, that she was loudly and emphatically told to leave. She and other New York City officials who showed up were told in no uncertain terms that they were not welcome. And the idea that somebody could institute policies which make New York City, New York State unsafe, can show up for a photo op at a police officer's funeral, that deserves to be challenged. These high officials have bodyguards, access to means of self-defense that are unavailable to ordinary citizens, and they are protected from the consequences of their awful decisions. If they, people like Governor Hochul, worry about being embarrassed when they have unfiltered contact with common citizens, that is nothing compared to what they've inflicted upon the citizens of New York. And to those who say that we should respect the governor, we should respect our elected officials, respect is a two-way street. So from the left, we've seen riots, looting, attacking common citizens, blocking streets. Whoever ejected Kathy Hochul from that funeral was showing us how to do free speech in a way that's respectful of the law. I am sorry that they had to go through that, that they went through that, the loss of Officer Diller, husband, father, son, but they handled it in a way that benefits us all. I thought it was extremely amusing that after the concerted attempt to tie up our former president, Donald J. Trump, in litigation in various states and jurisdictions, after Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, levied a potentially crippling bond on former President Trump, $500 million, suffered the 1-2 double punch of her bond that she required of President Trump on appeal to be posted, that was slashed to a fraction of what it had been, a bond that President Trump was capable of posting, but also that over that period of time while this was playing out, that our former president's net worth more than doubled to over $6 billion. I thought that was beautiful. If the resoluteness with which former President Trump is being hounded were applied to the actual criminals who strike fear in the heart of New Yorkers and people elsewhere in America, if that were done, America would be a much better place. But it was delicious cosmic payback that his net worth increased so much in the course of a week and may it continue to do so. On a different note, I remember being told by my grandparents that back in the early days of the telephone, when they were living in Germany under the Nazis. They used to put a pillow over the phone and speak very quietly if they were having, problematic, potentially subversive discussions. An even better way of ensuring privacy during such discussions would be to go out on a walk where the noise of traffic, wind, etc. Would cover the sound of their voices. The world has advanced a great deal since then. We have evolved technologically and devolved morally and spiritually, unfortunately. I was told by somebody in Israeli law enforcement that a cell phone can be turned on to eavesdrop on the person carrying that cell phone, and that if one turns on a radio or otherwise generates noise to cover up the conversation, it is a simple and easy matter to filter that out and zero in with crystal clarity on the telephone conversation. On the we're not even talking telephone conversation, but on the conversation in the room in which a telephone might be sitting. He recommended, if one is having a sensitive conversation, the phones should be switched off, preferably put in a metal box, and that people should not speak within 4 yards, 4 meters, which is a little bit more than 13 feet. So yeah, we are being tracked more than we know. One of the ways that criminals are tracked when they're out on bail is with electronic ankle bracelets that beam their location to a monitoring center. Well, when you're carrying your cell phone, you're being tracked as efficiently, maybe even better, than one would be with one of those primitive ankle bracelets. We're getting a lot of electronic goodies. I can sit at a bus stop, and I can even watch a movie or a sitcom if I don't get mugged and have my phone taken away. Shopping, banking, everything that would normally be done with a lot of extensive legwork in ages past, it's now in our pocket and at our fingertips. But it comes at a price. On the brighter side of things, the same technology that is used to watch us, monitor us, keep track of us, is being used by growing numbers of people to opt out of the mainstream media. It used to be that we had 3 major television networks, maybe some public television, educational television in certain markets. And now we have Gateway Pundit, The Federalist, and we have a lot of talk radio, which is a delightful antidote to the feelings of a lot of people who feel isolated in the onslaught of regime propaganda. So it's a battle out there, a battle to access unfiltered and honest streams of information. And it's also a struggle to make sure that the technology that appeared to us as a liberator does not become our slave master. I know every Shabbat, everybody in my family switches off their phone, puts it away, or maybe puts it away but keeps it on for emergencies, such as childbirth or missile attacks. For those of my listeners who do not have the blessing of Shabbat occurring weekly, I recommend that some sort of withdrawal from technology for a 24-hour period is a very good idea. I can almost feel my pulse slow down when I go off the grid. It's a refreshing feeling. I wish all of my listeners a blessed week. It's refreshing to see yet again the birds returning from their winter vacations, flowers and leaves budding on the trees. It seems almost to be like a shout out from nature that bleakness and barrenness is not forever, that there is a rebirth that is possible. So let's try to make that happen in our own lives. This wraps up another weekly episode of Between the Presets. I thank you all for the pleasure of sharing with me my weekly muse. Whatever platform you access, hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a comment is much appreciated. My email address is thewinterriders@gmail.com. thewinterriders@gmail.com. Until next week, adio, which in some African languages means born on Monday or be righteous, and closely resembles adios in Spanish.